Moncrief on News Talk.
In 2004, the height of no-holds-barred reality television, Sky ran a show called There's Something About Miriam. Six men would compete for the attention of a beautiful woman, but in the last episode, they are all told that Miriam is transgender. In 2019, Miriam Rivera was found dead. Lined Tonderai is director of a documentary series currently running on Channel 4 called Miriam, Death of a Reality Star. Lined, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
In the course of making the documentary, did you get to speak to any or many of the people who worked on the original show?
Yes, we did. We tried to speak to everybody, actually, who had worked on it originally or taken part. Not everyone, however, wanted to be part of the actual documentary that we made and the filming. Mm. But we did have, they were happy to talk off the record, if you'd like.
Right. And that reluctance, was there an element of shame in that, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. I think for a lot of people, what I hadn't realised was that it had actually been quite a traumatic experience for a lot of the people who were involved. A lot of the crew were quite junior and had gone into it quite naively or hadn't really been fully informed on exactly what the show would mean until quite late on. And so for them, you know, it's just not a happy chapter in their life to look back at. And yeah, of course, there's that element of that worry of being judged now as well, I think.
Yeah. And I, as I understand, is this correct that when the final revelation was made to the contestants, they took court action to try and have the entire series shelved?
Yeah, they did. They did. I think initially, obviously, they were really angry. And, you know, young kind of lads like that, they reacted very angrily at the time. And then I think they sort of, once they calmed down a bit, sort of realised they wanted to do something, they needed to do something. They wanted to gain control again, I suppose. And that's when they went to lawyers and tried to, well, they did. They stopped the show from going out initially and then kind of discussed, well, you know, what can we do next? And then that's when Sky came back and the production company, Brighter Pictures and Endemol came back and said, OK, well, look, we'll offer you money. So that we can show the show, because they'd spent a lot on it. It was a big budget at the time. So obviously they wanted it to go out.
Yeah. And from Miriam's point of view, I know in 2004, probably options are limited when you're a trans woman. But what was, as far as you can ascertain, her motivation for doing that?
I think she was somebody who had come from nothing, but knew that she had a real charisma about her. She's a very bright woman, actually, and was a performer. And I think when she had this opportunity, because they came to her, she, obviously 21 years old, you think, great, I'm going to grab it. You know, what can go wrong? Mm. And I obviously hadn't really thought it through. And also I think just wanted, yeah, she wanted a chance at fame. I think that's at that time when people were just normal people, all of a sudden had an opportunity to go into TV. That wasn't an unusual thing.
Yeah. So afterwards, what was it like for her as soon as the show was broadcast?
Terrible, really. I think the way that the press turned on Miriam was incredibly unpleasant. And, you know, even before the show went out, because obviously because the boys went to lawyers, there was a lot in the papers about it at that time as well. And actually the target wasn't the producers and the makers. It really became Miriam. And I think that's just an incredibly sad thing, because she was the wrong target in all of this. Mm. And that's partly why we wanted to make the series, because we sort of wanted to readdress the balance a bit as well and to give her, you know, the voice that she didn't have at the time.
So she wasn't given a chance to be given a voice or asked her side of the story or anything of that nature?
Well, I think it was difficult, because once the lads had taken legal action, she couldn't speak to the press at all at that point. Mm. And then I think, you know, when the show went out, yeah, you know, she did a bit of the press, but it's very difficult. I think you're 21, you've come from Mexico originally and then the US, you're speaking in a different language. I mean, I do think that it is very hard for her to be able to push back against the machine, which was the tabloid press at the time. And you know, the tabloid was king back then. It's very, very powerful. It's quite hard for somebody to really get themselves heard against that.
Yeah, indeed. So now, when she died, she was back living in Mexico. How long had she been living there for?
Well, she'd only really been back for about 18 months. Before that, she'd been across America and then had been ended up in Vegas. And, you know, it's actually really sad when you start looking at her journey and her life after the show. I mean, there were moments where things went well, but really Vegas is the beginning of the end for her, I guess.
Mm. What was she doing in Vegas?
She was working as a high-class escort. That's what Miriam was doing, I think. You know, and she was making a lot of money out of it, because I didn't know until I started working on this, but apparently you can. And at that time, she really did. But of course, it's such a high-risk kind of industry, you know, and it's a little bit like you're dancing with the devil. And, you know, and unfortunately for Miriam, she was kidnapped and taken into a brothel, and it was very, very incredibly traumatic and abusive.
Oh my word. I assume she'd hoped that there's something about Miriam would have led to some sort of media career. Did anything even remotely like that ever happen for her?
That's exactly what she hoped. And I think, and maybe was naive, you know, that she thought that people would just accept her. I mean, that was her dream. Her dream was that people would accept her and view her the way that she viewed herself. And that absolutely wasn't to be. I think in that sense, she was ahead of her time in the way that she thought. But the culture and the public just was not ready for that. I think, you know, she was supposed to be making another sort of documentary and that kind of thing with that production company, Bright Pictures, that obviously was scrapped straight away. So it was quite difficult. She did go, actually, as a sort of a celebrity guest on Australia Big Brother, just made a guest appearance. But it's the problem was that, you know, her name had been tarnished and she'd been really dragged through the mud. And so nobody really would take her seriously on any front, unfortunately.
Yeah. Because even the way they sold it, you know, the phrases they use, she's more Steve than Eve and all this kind of stuff that at the time. To you, having made it, does that tell you attitudes have shifted dramatically in the last two decades, or perhaps not so much?
I think we know now. Back then, that was acceptable, okay? And I think now we know it's not. And I think that's a good thing. And actually, I hadn't seen the original series go out. So when I first started working on this, the first thing I did was watch it. And when I watched it, I found it really shocking, even though it's only 20 years ago. And it is shocking when you look back at it. So I do think we have definitely moved forward, and definitely in terms of, you know, how we make programs, how we look after people, that has definitely improved. But I don't know how much people's own individual sort of perspectives or thought about trans people have shifted. I'm not so sure. Mm. But I definitely think in terms of the language we use, I think we know what's appropriate, what's right and what's not.
Lina Tondere is series director of Miriam, Death of a Reality Star, which you can catch on Channel 4 or at channel4.com. Lina, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.